Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
The gospel for today is beautiful. It picks up exactly where we left off last week. Remember last week, Jesus was with his apostles. They were celebrating the Last Supper. He knew his death was impending. Therefore, his teaching had to be direct, and he needed to make sure that the apostles knew how to continue the mission that Jesus began, the mission of beginning our church. And so there's a level of intensity right now in Jesus' teaching. It's synonymous with a loved one. You know, they call you over, and you come to them, and you sit beside them. And they know, just like Jesus, you know, their death is impending. So they want to impart upon you the wisdom that they gain from life so that you can essentially take advantage of it and apply it in your own life and benefit from it. And so, just like the apostles, you're sitting on the edge of your chair, you're hanging on every word, and you're listening very carefully. Now, also remember, too, from last week, that key word that Jesus kept using, remain in me. And the Greek word was manete, which is, when translated to English, means stay permanently. Well, Jesus last week said, you know, I am the vine and you are the branches. Remain in me and you will have life. So Jesus told us what we need to do in order for us to have life with Christ, and not just in this world, but in the world to come. Well, this week it's a little different. Jesus continues to use that word, remain, manete, stay permanently. But now it's in terms of being in a right relationship with him. Notice what he says. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Well, again, Jesus told us last week what we needed to do in order for us to have eternal life. Well, this week, he's telling us what we need to do in order for us to be in a right relationship with God. And better yet, to participate, to live within that Trinitarian community of love that exists between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And see, that cuts to the heart of the message that Jesus is trying to teach us this weekend. To live as a follower of Jesus Christ, to live as a Christian, it means doing something. Well, last week, you know, we recognized that we have to do something in order to remain with Jesus. When he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. This week, again, we have to do something, you know, to remain within that Trinitarian community. In this case, to follow the commandments. That's what Jesus teaches us. Now, take a look at the commandments. The first three commandments, you know, describe our relationship with God and how we live out and we love our God. The second part of the commandments, commandments 4 through 10, talk about how we are to relate with one another. Well, if you look at those commandments, St. Augustine, when meditating upon this gospel passage for today, said, love God and then do what you will or what you please. I'll say it again. Love God and then do what you please. Now, I'm sure for some people, they've probably saying to themselves, that's great. I waited to hear that for all of my life. I'm out of here. Well, stop and think. If we truly love God, and we do, our whole life is ordered to God, such that all of Jesus' teachings, the commandments, yes, but also the Beatitudes, the Golden Rule, the two great commandments, all of the sacraments, Jesus' entire lifestyle, form our identity in who we are. What's the implication? Everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we think is always greatly influenced by Jesus Christ and ordered to by God. See, then Augustine was absolutely right. Love God and then do whatever we please. Because whatever we do, it's always conformed to God, influenced heavily by Jesus Christ. Now, what's our problem? Well, I think it's one word. It's a very simple word, love. Love is probably the most misunderstood word in all of the Bible. When we hear or read the Bible or listen to it, we hear that word love. Love in the Bible is not an emotion. It's not a term of affection or a feeling. Instead, as Thomas Aquinas tells us, it's an act of the will. Think of it. If we were truly to fall in love with everyone, as Jesus says, love one another, we would be a basket case. It's impossible. But if love is an act of the will, then yes, we can. Essentially, to love means to will the good of another. And we can, even for perfect strangers. I'll give you a great example. You're in the checkout line of the Quick Trip, the Fleet Farm, the grocery store, whatever it may be. The person in front of you, as well as the person behind you, they're both perfect strangers. And yet you can turn to each of them and say, I will the best for you. I will the best life and the best health. I will the best career and the best family. And I will pray for you, and I will support you, and I will give you advice. Well, now you just love that person. You will the best for them. Now, another way for us to try and understand this gospel passage is simply living out the virtues. If we live out the virtues, then we are doing exactly what Jesus tells us to do. You know, to follow or abide by the commandments and to love one another. How so? Well, just look at the virtues. Patience, prudence, kindness, compassion, charity, forgiveness. If we live those virtues out every day, regardless of who we come into contact with, we are loving one another. Now next, Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I command. Well, stop and think. That's pretty darn powerful. God doesn't see us as servants, but he sees us as friends. Now, stop and think. How do you become friends with another person? Well, there's that period of acquaintance, right? You get to know each other, and then you get to like or you're comfortable with that person in their presence, and then you want to be able to do things with them. You want to share your deepest feelings and thoughts with them. Well, that's the relationship that we have now with God. And notice, too, it's Jesus saying that to us. He's taking the initiative. He's the one that says that we are his friends. It's not the other way around. Now, if you're not awestruck and astounded by that, you're not paying attention. Now, what's the implication here? And it's pretty serious. Well, if we truly are friends with Jesus, as he says, and we are, then we have to honor that friendship, always, and not just when we feel like it or when it's convenient. And so to honor that friendship, we have to pray every day, several times a day, come into Mass once a week, if not sooner. We have to essentially live out the virtues, engage a lifestyle of stewardship. Those are all ways in which we honor that friendship that we have with Jesus. One last thing to think about. Notice what Jesus says towards the end. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you. Well, that really cuts to the heart of the spiritual life. Recognizing God has chosen us, not as servants, but as friends. You know, it reminds me of the call of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 5. Where God says to Jeremiah, before I even formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were even born, I dedicated you, a prophet to all the nations. That's how intimately God knows us, and now he chooses us. He wants us to be his friends. And I think that's the key. God always takes the initiative. God is always active, and we are passive. We can't make that mistake. God isn't some, figure waiting out in the distance, waiting for us to go and find him. No, it's just the opposite. He takes the initiative. He comes, chasing after us. Even from the very beginning of creation, God creates this entire universe, not for himself, but for us. He takes that initiative. And it continues on throughout salvation history. It's God who sends prophet after prophet. It's God who initiates covenant after covenant. Finally, sending his only son into this world so that we might be saved. Our God is a God who always takes the initiative. To either search for us or to guide us like a good shepherd home, to be with him in heaven. Friends, today, it's beautiful. The gospel picks up exactly where we left off last week. Last week, Jesus was telling us what we need to do in order for us to have life, which is to remain in him. And now, again, he tells us what we need to do to remain in a right relationship with him and to exist within that communitarian love between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Follow the commandments. See, if we truly are friends of Jesus Christ, and we are, then we conform ourselves always to Jesus. And then, yes, we love God, and then we do whatever we please. Because whatever we please always is in conformity and heavily influenced by Jesus Christ. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.